Yeah, NBA Australia, how you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Australia. It's Friday, March 23. And this is NBA Australia. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places. Basically, anyone who wants to give me money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know what's going on in the NBA today. Who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball. Just while repping Australia a little, mate. Yeah, nah, what do you reckon? All right, we're repping all the NBA games from last night, all six of them. Some fun stuff went down. There's also all the usual dumbassery. Yeah, nah, better than Lonzo Ball, the unpopular opinion of the day. As we do every day here in NBA Australia, we check in on all the Australian NBA players just to see how they're going, mate. A couple of good ones last night as well, I'll tell you. Big Simo, the Jingler, it was great. We've also got a new segment, Outback Takehouse. Do you want some shrimp on your takes? And we have the final of NBA Australia's NBA Australia Australian Champ 2-on-2 Tournament Madness Bracket Tournament Challenge. And it's all decided by you guys. It's awesome, too. It was really cool to see how that played out. So we'll get to that later in the show. Plus, it's Friday, so we preview every single game for the entire NBA weekend. And there's a lot. So it's going to be fun as hell. Also, Friday, we have Dickhead of the Week. And we add to the Luke Longley All-Stars. Awesome. I love it. It's NBA Australia. It's Friday. Let's go.
It's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better. I mean, there's still no Shaq attack, but you got to watch out for it. This is the Daily Whip Around, as we do every day here on NBA Australia. So we're going to wrap up all the games from last night. Thursday night, brah, had six games, brah, going up against the NCAA tournament. And Loyola Chicago out there smashing it. We might have to do an NCAA Australia going into the Final Four. What do you reckon next week? That'll be fun, I guess. The last night, the Tekapalooza teams go 0-3. And how did they go 0-3? Jesus. The Grizzlies went into Charlotte and lost by 61 points. Oh, shit. What? God damn it. 140-79. How is that fucking possible, bro? Kemba Walker, 46 points in three quarters. He made 10 three-pointers. He had 13 of 18 shots. He had 17 in the first quarter, man. He outscored the Grizz 17-14 alone in the first quarter. This was amazing. He had 17 in the first, 18 in the second, and then 11 to bring it home in the third. And then didn't have to play because they were kicking the shit out of the fucking Grizz. I'll tell you what, that is brutal. But I'll tell you, you know, that's probably David Fizdale's fault, right? That's why the Grizzlies lost by 61, right? It wasn't David Fizdale's fault because they fired him earlier in the year because Marc Gasol's a fucking pussy ass bitch. God damn. Dwight Howard. He missed the game because he's a piece of shit who got suspended for getting his 16th tech in the game against the Nets the night before. In his absence, 10 and 12 for Big Willie style. Big Willie Hernan Gomez. Not bloody bad, Big Willie. Your Grizz leading scorer, Wayno Seldon. Sure. No Marc Gasol because he's a pussy and he sat out. Marc Gasol, real leader there. Real leader. Not a coach killer, just a real leader. What a dipshit. Grizzlies, they've lost 22 of the last 23. That is obviously the most lopsided loss in franchise history for the Grizz, and also the most lopsided victory in the franchise history for the Hornets. That is also the first 60-point or greater win for any NBA team since 1998, and it's only the sixth in league history. 61 points, man. Grizzlies, I mean, that's how you tank. But at the same time, you're an embarrassment. All right, Sixers, they beat the Magic in Orlando 118-98. This was a laugher. Back-to-back for the Sixers, and it didn't matter. Put a stranglehold on the fourth seed there. This was great. For the Magic, Rodney Purvis. Bet you didn't know who Rodney Purvis was until right then. He came off the bench, scored 19 for the Magic. Aaron Gordon, the only Orlando starter to score in double figures. He had 10 points and 11 rebounds. What a shit show the Magic are, huh? For the Sixers, Ilyasova, hello, I look like Lurch, and they have 18 points. He had 18 points. Joel Embiid had 17 points, 9 rebounds in just 20 minutes. Not bloody bad. He also had the Steph Curry run off the TV screen after launching the three, know that it's splashing. This was so good. Launches it. He's like, nah, that's in. I'm out of here. Good job, Joel. And how is Simo? Oh, not bloody bad. Second night straight, he didn't have to play in the fourth quarter. Pretty good, Simo. I'll tell you that, mate. Not much, mate. Not bloody bad. 6 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. Crushed it. Magic, they've lost 8 of 9. And the Sixers, cruising at the moment in the fourth seed and feeling very, very good about themselves, having won 5 straight. Put a little bit of daylight between them and the Pacers. Half a game, basically. So, not bloody bad. How about the Pistons or Rockets? Man, gee, do you think the Rockets are like, dude, we're playing the Pistons. Like, we've got this. So they rested Chris Paul, and Detroit scared the crap out of them. It was all tied up. Went to overtime. How's that? Rockets end up winning 196 in overtime. Just shows you how bad this game was, that it was a Houston game. It was overtime, and they only scored 100. Jesus. So for the Pistons, Blake, I mean, sure, whatever. He had the triple-double. Not impressed, though. Come on. Your team's got 96. You lose in overtime. At 21 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, 9 of 22 shooting. Ish Smith went bonkers. He had 18 points. Andre Drummond crushed it. 17 points and 20 rebounds. And Luke Kennard, dude. He had 14 points as well. The Pistons, though, it's like watching a zombie in Walking Dead or something. Just going through the motions, man. Just going through the motions. The Rockets, they scored from everywhere, even though their threes weren't dropping. Just everyone sort of contributed a little bit. The problem was, they shot like shit. 12 of 51 from three. Unbelievable. 23.5%, dude. That's 35.4% overall for the game as well, man. Brutal. Rested Chris Paul, as mentioned. Eric Gordon started in his place. He had 22, 3, and 5 on 19 shots. And fast Jimmy Harden. He had 21 on 4 of 20 shooting. Bold Jesus. 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Got ran up under by Blake Griffin as well, which is why I said fuck Blake Griffin a little bit earlier. I'd usually be a little bit more excited about a Blake Griffin triple-double, but he did pull the old Zaza on Kawhi on Harden last night, where Harden went up for the 3. Blake shuffled just under his airspace a little, so Harden came down on his ankles. I mean, look, fuck James Harden, but that's some bullshit, Blake. Come on, mate, you're better than that. So the rest of the Rockets, look, bit of a shit show. What can you say? Clint Capela, he had 10 points, 14 rebounds. And Houston only win this because 10 of their 12 points in overtime were scored by Harden. That's right, the dude had 10 points for the entire game and then scored 10 in overtime. Jesus, not bloody bad, but that's what number one seeds and ass-kicking teams bloody well do. Good job, Rockets. You eke it out. Lakers, they lose to the Pelicans in New Orleans. The Pels, man, they needed to crush this one. They were tied with the Spurs, one loss ahead of the Wolves and Jazz. This was their 5th game in 6 nights, their 3rd game in 3 nights because of a scheduling weird hiccup because of the postponed Pacers-Indiana game. So, there's an excuse, right? That's a schedule loss. Nah, Pelicans. They won all 3. They win this 128-125. Unreal, mate. Lakers, notorious KCP, had 28 points and an ankle bracelet. Randall and Lopez had 23 each. 10 rebounds for Julius as well. That's some good contract year, Julius. Kuz had a good one. We'll talk about him later. And for the Pels, man, Anthony Davis, 33 points, 9 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 12 of 20, and 2 clutch free throws to seal it, man. Good shit, Anthony Davis. Rondo, he had 24 points and 10 assists, and 26 points and 6 assists from Jrue Holiday. Pretty bloody good. Pels, they move in to 4th in the West. They've got the tiebreaker up on the Thunder. So not bloody bad. 4th for the Pelicans. Laughing. Absolutely laughing. The Jazz, they beat the Mavs 119-112. Jazz get back on track after that horrible loss to the Hawks. They kicked a Mavs ass. They're up 16 going into the fourth here. Mavs, 21 points with 4 rebounds for Harrison Barnes. 23 for JJ Barea with 8 assists. And 20 for Yogi as well. Good job, Yogi Ferrell. The Jazz, Donovan fucking Mitchell had a good one. We'll talk about him in a second. Ricky Tiki Tata Rubio, he had 22 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 5 steals. And beautiful hair. Rudy Gobert, the Staffel Tower. I am Rudy Gobert, the Staffel Tower. I will block all of your shots. And that's exactly what he did. He had 11 points, 7 rebounds, but 5 blocks. Unbelievably swatted one right in the back row, I reckon, too. The Jingler. Almost a triple-double for the Jingler. That's his second double-double of the year when it comes to assists. 18 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists. An absolute bloody corker of a game from Jingling Joe Ingles. Unreal. 7 of 10 from the field. 3 of 5 from 3. He didn't miss a shot, basically. 7 of 10 is pretty bloody good, I'll tell you. The Jazz, they are now tied with the Minnesota Timberwolves for 7 and 8 spots, but they are behind the Wolves on a tiebreaker. So the crazy part is, we just talked about the Pelicans. The Pelicans are 1.5 games up on, they're in fourth, and they're 1.5 games up on 8. A little bit tight, bro. And then the final game of the night, the Kings beat the Hawks 105-90 in front of probably the most sparse crowd in modern NBA history. There was no one at this game because basically the Kings had to shut the doors and tell people to go home and refund their tickets because of protests out the front of the arena with people with linked arms and everything protesting the death of Stephen Clark. I'll talk about that in just a little bit. So, look, no one at this game and no one wanted to win this game. Couldn't we have just called this a tie and not bothered playing it? Jesus. We even thought, like, hey, Dennis Schröder versus De'Aaron Fox? Nah. The Hawks rested German Rondo. Dennis Schröder! And that's a tall cocktail. John Collins, as well as DeAndre Bembry, to make sure that they lost this. Oosh. So for the Hawks, Dwayne Dedmon, he had 13 and 10. 18 for Isaiah Taylor. Isaiah Taylor, that's right. 13 and 10 for Dwayne Dedmon. 18 for Isaiah Taylor. Why can't I say Isaiah Taylor? Weird. Anyway, he had 18. The Kings. De'Aaron Fox had a shit one anyway without German Rondo. There, he had 4 points in 20 minutes. Justin Jackson, his fellow rookie, though, he had a season high of 20. Frank Mason Jr., 16. Kostas Kulvas, 14-11. And Buddy Hield. Buddy Steph Curry Hield. His run of 20-plus point games ends, but he still had 16. That's pretty good tanking all around. Hawks, you just did it better. All right, let's get to the NBA Australia Brew performance of the night.
Nice.
Oh, that's a knife, Kemba Walker and the Hornets. Holy shit, the first 60-point win since 1998. It's the sixth highest winning margin in NBA history. It is like an absolute ass-kicking, and good job. Like, that's how you should be doing it. The Grizz should be fucking humiliated for being so fucking bad. The best part was Meta World Peace, off the top rope with a killer tweet. They mem Grizz and Hornets. Score differentiation is the amount of games I got suspended for in 2004 and 2005. Unreal. But Kemba, man, his 10 three-pointers were just like legit. And you know that he could have gone for 70, but the Grizz were just so fucking bad. He didn't have to play. God damn it, Grizzlies. You're a fucking joke. Can we move them to Seattle already and give me back my fucking team? All right, who's old mate no mates today?
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Yeah, man, who's got no mates today? Look, it's the Grizzlies because they got beaten by 61. Holy shit, who gets beaten by 61 points? Nobody. That's bloody well who. Can you believe this? Like, they fire David Fizdale. It's like, oh yeah, cool, look, he's the problem, clearly. It's like, Mike Conley's injured, dudes. That's why you're losing. It's like, no, we'll get rid of him. We'll change the coach. No, you fucking didn't. This was so goddamn ridiculous. I mean, at least they scored 79 though, right? Like the last team that got beaten by this badly was like the Blazers back in 98 by the Pacers. That was 124-59. So saving grace. But we'd also add another old mate, no mates to this today. It'd be Lonzo Ball, but we're going to talk about him in, obviously, the Lonzo Ball segment. Better than Lonzo Ball. But look, teaser. It's not great. All right, Tankapalooza 2018. How are we doing? Oh, we're going to tie at the top. That's right. Memphis and Phoenix are tied in the worst position in the NBA right now. 19-53. Memphis, you should just be embarrassed of yourselves. Tied for third as well. We've got Atlanta and Orlando in 21-51. Then in fifth, we have Dallas at 22-50. Brooklyn right there all by themselves in sixth with that Cavs pick, 23-49. Sacramento after their win last night, 24-49. Chicago, 24-47 in eighth. And then the Knicks, 26-46, bringing up the rear in ninth. Not great, mate. Not great. But that's some good tanking. A lot of tanking this weekend as well, I'll tell you that much. Oh, geez. All right, let's get to Better Than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. This is Better Than Lonzo Ball, your daily look into who was better than Lonzo Ball last night. And of course, back-to-back world champs, Donovan fucking Mitchell, 26 points on 11 of 22 shooting. Only 1 of 6 from 3, though, but at the same time, that's only half as bad as Lonzo last night. So how about we also go Donovan fucking Mitchell and Lonzo's teammate, Kuzma. 22 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 of 11, 4 of 9 from 3. Meanwhile, over there on Planet Ball, Lonzo, what are you doing, mate? 44 minutes. He shoots 2 of 15 from the field. 1 of 12 from 3. 1 of 12. What the shit is that about? He ends up with 6 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, but 2 and 15. At what point do you say to yourself, nah, I'm not feeling it tonight? Like, 1 of 6? 1 of 7? And he just goes, nah, I'm going to keep shooting. Maybe I should shoot some fucking more. The best part was he also got blocked to absolute shit by Anthony Davis up against the backboard. He's like, ooh, I'm going to lay up. And Anthony Davis goes, nah, no you don't, mate. This is unbelievable. So he's now 7 of 48 on three-pointers in his last 7 games. Was 21 of 42 before that since the All-Star break. That is a heavy regression to the mean, and it just keeps slipping. Dude, 1 of 12 from 3. Anybody is better than that. Literally, the entire association last night was better than Lonzo Ball. Dudes who missed three-pointers had better percentages than Lonzo. Ah, Jesus. I don't know who takes 12 three-pointers when they hit one. That's ridiculous. All right, it's Friday, so you ready for this?
Dickhead of the Week!
Look, I could have just yelled about Lonzo a little bit longer, but hey, I just wanted to remind you the refs who fucked up that OKC-Boston game the other day, man. Missing 3 crucial calls. You guys are the dickheads of the week. Come the fuck on, man. 5-second infringement on Marcus Morris, traveling on Terry Rose. Traveled twice for Marcus Morris. What the fuck y'all doing? This could definitely impact the Thunder's playoff seeding because they are currently 5th. That is basically because they're tied with the Pelicans in 4 at 43-30. But of course, they'd be 44-29 had they have just won that game and the refs not fucking screwed them. So look, those refs, that's it. You dickheads of the week. All right, after this, we've got Yeah Nas after these words.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. NBA Straya, it's Yeah Nah. We take 3 NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Let's do it. Is KD owning this snake thing cool or not? Did you see this? He's got like, the new KDs came out and they've got like a snake on the tongue. The old snake emoji. Is this cool or not? Yeah, nah. Nah, it's not. It's kind of cool. I'll admit it a little bit. But there's a snake on the tongue of his new shoes. Ha. But KD is a massive fucking dork. So he's all like, haha, look, I'm cool. I'm cool with this snake thing on my shoes. And that's cool. I'm owning it. Look, I'm a snake in the grass. Look at me. Oh, all you haters. It's like, dude, that's only just kind of funny. Like, it's more sad that you hang on to this shit like a fucking psycho. It's like snake in the grass. Like, who was literally the person who like last gave a shit about that? Like, I'm busy out here calling you the coward, Kevin Durant. That's because you bailed on the team that drafted you and went and joined a team that won 73 games the year before just so you could win a championship. That makes you a coward. I don't give a fuck about this snake in the grass shit. That's just dumb. And it's not that funny, right? Like, it's like, I mean, it's like kind of, all right, sure, it's a snake. But who gives a fuck now? Like, this is years now. Like, who gives a shit? KD, you're a fucking weirdo. I'll tell you that much. All right, number 2. Are you worried about Jaylen Brown and Kyrie Irving? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I am a bit. Hey, the Jaylen concussion is brutal. And the fact that we've gotten 0 updates on it beyond, like, you know, he's okay. like, oh, all right, shit, I didn't realize it was going to be that bad. It's like, well, I mean, you did seem twitching on the floor, so it is pretty fucking bad. So Kyrie, not planning on being back anytime soon either. I'd be pretty worried if I was a Celtics fan at this point, right? Like, you've basically got the two seed locked up, but I'd be terrified of pretty much like the Bucks or the Heat in 7 or 8. And geez, without Jalen and Kyrie, no chance, I'd say. Number three, is Woj out there sensationalizing and making shit up? Did you see this? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I reckon he kind of might be. So this popped off yesterday after we did yesterday's podcast where Woj reported that there was a players-only meeting with Kawhi that got super emotional and people were imploring, begging him to come back to the team and save their season. And then Danny Green came out and said, fucking what? It's totally wrong. And Jabari Young for the, San Antonio, MySA.com, he reported, ESPN has it wrong. The meeting was intense. It just caught Kawhi off guard a little bit. Teammates just wanted to check on his status so they wouldn't want to hear it from the media. He had support from teammates. So what the fuck is going on with that, Woj? It's pretty weird, right? Where Woj is all like, oh, it made it sound so dramatic. And you're like, all right, I don't know about this. So look, sounds like a bit of bullshit and he's out there sensationalizing, making shit up. So yeah, nah, yeah. Hey, bonus, will Kawhi play this year? Yeah, nah, I'm not feeling it. I mean, I still told you last week, man, when they were like, oh, it's going to be Thursday. I'm like, watch him push it back some more. La 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 long. Push it some more. But if he does come back, I'm guessing it's going to be the last week or so, and then he'll try it out, and then he'll probably just end up sitting out the playoffs again. Anyway, you heard it here first. So back to the Vivek Ranadive stuff for the Kings. Look, a little bit serious. Vivek Ranadive showed a lot of strength and heart in coming out and talking about the Stephen Clark police shooting after the protest of police violence delaying the start of the Hawks-Kings game. Yeah, I loved it. He spoke eloquently and efficiently on the matter. And it was a nice change from the fence sitting of other rich fuckholes. Because, you know, hey, police, don't shoot unarmed people 20 times. So, oh, but he broke into a car. Yeah, he might have broken into a car and was running away from the police. But you don't shoot a fucking person 20 times. What the fuck? So good job, Vivek. Good job, Kings. It was a really, really, really sad situation. I like that Vivek came out and said, hey, man, look, we don't care like that you guys are protesting. That's your right, and we appreciate it, and we support it. So good job, Vivek. Other people, I don't think they would have handled it anywhere near as nicely. All right, so lighter note, let's do it. There was a great post from Reddit. Is it 2008 or 2018? 2008 or 2018? 10 years apart. But still, this is great. LeBron James is averaging 27, 8, and 9. Mike D'Antoni is coaching one of the great offenses the league has ever seen. Dwight Howard just put up a 30-30. The Wizards are making the playoffs despite missing their star point guard. Emeka Okafor is the starting center on a playoff team. New Orleans' young star player could finish as high as second in MVP voting. Hey! Dirk Nowitzki is shooting a career high 42.9% from three, and the Knicks suck. 2008 or 2018. That is remarkable. Damn, son. That's enough for us to punch Doc Brown in the face, I reckon. Nice one. All right, look at me, look at me. It's the unpopular opinion of the day. Hey, I really don't like the idea of Woj sensationalizing shit, right? Like, so he's gone down as like a straight reporter for the most part. And whenever he tries to write something a little bit more in depth, it usually sucks. He's not a great writer. He's a great reporter that I can see from my interpretation. But it really seems like he's sensationalizing the fuck out of this. And look, we all know that Woj sort of comes after people that don't give him coverage or access. He's come after Kobe. He's come after LeBron. He's gone after the Bulls. He's gone after the Knicks. Because they don't like pander to his, hey guys, look, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. So he comes at them hard. He used to do it all the time at Yahoo. And now he's at ESPN. He's clearly getting fucking nothing from the Spurs on this. So he gets like a little one or two sources on this and then blows it up. That's fucking crazy, man. So the MySA piece by Jabari Young really just seemed to have like the ideal version of this. It's like, it was just a players meeting to ask Kawhi how he's feeling if he's returning soon. Not to implore him to come back, but because they care about the guy and they want a clear update directly from him. Whereas like Woj is like, motherfuckers be in there yelling and crying and imploring him to come back and shit. And I don't know, man. I don't like it. Woj, you went Hollywood, bro. You went Hollywood. Weird. All right, you ready for Outback Takehouse? Outback Takehouse. Get some extra shrimp on your take. Flame Grilled Takes at Outback Takehouse. Also, here's a blooming onion. Lonzo Ball is a flog who will never be better than an average point guard. That is your Outback Takehouse for today. All right, right after this, we'll be back with Australian Player Watch.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, Brew, and you're listening to NBA Australia, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, man, we're back. It's the NBA Australia, Australian Player Watch. Ben Simmons, let's go, Simo! Second night straight, he didn't have to play in the fourth quarter. And the second straight night that he probably would have had another triple-double. So he's only at 9 for the year. He probably could be at 11 very, very easily. But in the last two nights, back-to-back nights, didn't have to play in the fourth quarter. Pretty good. So last night he had 6 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists as they kicked the crap out of... who was it? Orlando, that's right. In Orlando, too. Great job. Patty Mills didn't play, got a couple of games on the weekend. Jingling Joe Ingles, as mentioned at the top of the show, win over the Mavs, 18 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists. Almost a jingling triple-double. Pretty good. That's what they call the coward Kevin Durant, the American Joe Ingles. 18, 6, and 10, mate. Unreal. Jingles remains the best three-point shooter in the NBA right now. Crushing. I mean, Klay Thompson's been out for a little bit, but at the same time, oh, wait, no. Darren Collison. Fuck you, mate. That is some bullshit. Man, it's on the makes, though. It's on the makes. Darren Collison's only attempted 183. Jingler, 411. Jingler is going to pull that back. Don't worry about that. How did Dante Exum go, mate? Win over the Mavs. He played 10 minutes. 1 of 5 from the field. 0 of 1 from 3. 2 points, 3 assists, but was a plus 2. So that's nice. Love it, Dante. I just like seeing him out there next to Donovan Mitchell. It's fucking good. Dele, no timetable on his return yet. I don't know, man. That setback, it's pretty brutal. It's only meant to be out 4 weeks. That was back February 6th. We're now up to, that is 6 weeks and counting. No Bucks game last night, so Thon Song didn't play either. They got a couple of games on the weekend, some crucial ones too. Aaron Bangers-Baines didn't play either, but the Celtics have got 2 on the weekend. Keep up our Bainesy three-point watch. 0-10 for the year. Don't forget about that. Andrew Bogut. Well, don't think he's going to be playing this year because he's back in Australia hanging the fuck out and threatening to play in the NBL Grand Final. Not bloody bad. Mango Mathieu, let's get him called up. Come on. Come on, Mango. Let's get called up from the Greensboro Swarm. Their season finishes, I think, on Saturday. Then we need Charlotte to call him up and get a bit more of a look at the big fella. And then the final part, Kyrie. Yeah, man. No updates on his knee. He was getting a second opinion this week, so we'll see if any reports come out about it today or over the weekend. And you know what? It's Friday, so are you ready for this? Oh, it's the Luke Longley All-Stars. Oh, I love the Luke Longley All-Stars. This is role players who just did their goddamn job for championship teams. You know who I love? Even though the poor bugger got roasted. Mario Chalmers. All he ever did was win, no matter what. And he got blamed for everything. Shredded mercilessly, but don't forget he was the starter on back-to-back champion teams and also won a title in college with Kansas. Unbelievable. So in 2012 and 2013, when the Miami Heat won their titles, Mario, man, he was just out there, only averaged 9.8 points and then 8.6 points back-to-back years, 3.5 assists each year as well. But you know, it was just a steadying presence, came up big when it mattered and did his damn job. That is the perfect Luke Longley All-Star. And also, look, shredded his Achilles and has come back and has actually just, you know, carved out a nice little role for himself there in Memphis. So that's pretty cool. Good job, Rio. Even though everyone picked on you and it was hilarious, dude, that's some Luke Longley shit. Got blamed for everything. You're never a star, still came up big. Luke Longley All-Star. Good job. All right, and what about, what do you reckon, Stephen A. Smith?
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Don't know.
He just doesn't know, but it is the final results of our NBA Australia Championship bracket. What do you reckon? This was a suggestion from one of our legendary listeners, Carson. which Aussie legend and their championship teammate would win a 2-on-2 tournament. So, the ups and downs, we've had it all. And then it went chalk. So our seeds, our top two seeds, Luke Longley and MJ in the one seed, and then Dally and LeBron in the two seed, played off in the final. Thing is, Dally and LeBron have it. Oh, upset. The two beats the one. Can you believe it? They only just squeak by Bogut and Steph, and then they take out the GOAT, MJ and Longley. Can you believe this? And this isn't me deciding this either. Like I would have actually gone with the GOAT, MJ and Longley, because it's a fascinating matchup, right, between MJ and Longley and Dally and LeBron. The idea of MJ and Big Lucian going up against Scrappy Doo and LeBron, I love it. I just don't think Dally and LeBron would have it, though. MJ would hound LeBron until he cried on defense, and then they dare Dally to beat them, right? And then on the other end, every time LeBron guarded MJ, Luke's like a foot and a half taller than King Dally. Able to post him up and dunk on King Dally of Maryborough, first of his name and sinker of tins. I love Dally, but I still reckon MJ would have not let anyone beat him in a 2-on-2 tournament, even paired with Luke Longley. Still, this is the will of the crowd, so I bend the knee to it. Congrats, Dally and LeBron, for winning the first ever NBA Australia Championship 2-on-2 tournament. And thanks to everyone who had their say, voted, argued, yelled at other people. It was great to see some of the arguments and conversations that took place, and we'll definitely have to do way more stuff like this. This was awesome. So thanks so much, Carson, for sending in the question. And if anyone else has any fun NBA questions like this that we want to spin out into like a week-long thing, hit me up, man. Either on Facey, Twitter, jimmy@nbaaustralia.com. Just do it. It's pretty easy. It's pretty fun. So thanks, Carson. The NBA Australia Championship, Australian bracket, your winner, Dally and LeBron. Unbelievable. He beats out Bogut and Steph, Gazy and Duncan, Mills and Duncan, Bangers and Duncan, and takes down MJ and Longley. Unbelievable. On yous. All right, let's get to the game previews and the Patty Mills Game Day Ball, a Game Day Inspiration Board, right after this one.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. We're back. NBA Australia, it's the Patty Mills Game Day Ball, a Game Day Inspiration Board. Look, Patty hasn't tweeted since the Spurs went on their win streak after losing to Houston. So, not that inspiring. Maybe I'll have to check his Instagram next week. All right, y'all ready? It's Friday. So, what do we do on Fridays? We preview every single game for the weekend. It is
Game Previews. Game Previews.
We've got 25 NBA games on the weekend and some absolute bloody corkers in there. What do you think, Invertenbane?
I was born to the darkness. You only lived here.
So, all right, is the darkness
Clippers at Pacers? It's Victor and DJ.
Okay, thanks, Inadvertent Bane. Clips at Pacers. Victor Oladipo versus DeAndre Jordan and co. This is actually a really, really fun game. You've got Miles Turner and DJ. No word on Domantas Sabonis' Souvlaki King, but I think the Pacers will win this. Clips on a fairly long road trip. I think they're going to drop one or two here. Even though they definitely need to win it to keep basically a pace with the bottom end of the West playoff bracket there. Because, man, it is getting tighter than a duck's proverbial at this point. And what do you reckon? Because then the Nuggets also play the Wizards. So there's two great games to start off Friday. The Wizards sitting in sixth. The Pacers sitting in fourth. And it just doesn't stop, man. Like, Nuggets at Wiz, Clips at Pacers. The Nugs definitely need to win this or they're basically Dunsky. Like, it's 39-33. Both the Nugs are on 39-33. The Clippers need to win their game just to tie up the Nugs. Woo! And they're both basically two games back from the eight. So it's feeling like a little bit insurmountable. But if they both win tonight, it keeps them within, you know, basically spitting distance. So the Pacers in the first game, I think the Nuggets beat the Wizards in Washington. Maybe. But if the Wiz drop this as well, dude, jeez, it's going to be very interesting. Give me the Nugs. Give me Pacers and Nugs. All right, Suns at Cavs. How handy is this for the Cavs? They get a nice walkover at home as well, hanging out, chilling. Nets at Raps. So do the Raps. Nice walkover as well. Do they rest Demar and Kyle for this as well? Maybe. Nets still got no reason to tank, so who knows, but Raps win that as well. So Cavs and Raps, they are clear favorites. And I will pick both of them. Wolves at Knicks. Oh, poor Knicks. Wolves lucky to run into them at this point. They're happily sitting in eighth, want to move up, and they get the Knicks. Well, they're a seventh, actually, tied with the Jazz. So handy timing for the Wolves. Bucks at Bulls. Same goes for the Bucks there as well. They're in eighth. How are all these playoff teams suddenly get all the Tankapalooza teams? Pretty good. Bucks will win that. Heat at Thunder. Now, this is tasty. Ooh. Rusty and Co. versus all the wings of the Heat. They'll be nice and rested, though, after that bullshit loss to Boston. So maybe the Thunder. I think they'll maybe just have enough to the Heat. Jazz at Spurs. Tasty 2.0. I love this. Jazz just had their streak broken, trying to catch the Spurs, who are now streaking themselves. We're going through the quad. The Spurs, they've won five straight. The Jazz are a game behind them. So this is the old worth two games. I think the Jazz might have just enough for the old Spurs, even though they're on a back-to-back. Tricky. And then the final game of this tasty 3.0. It's not the final game of the night. It is Celtics at Blazers. What an awesome game that is. Jesus. I think the Blazers will be too good, though. CJ and Dame and Nurk, especially for this banged-up Celtics team, might be a bit too tough. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. It's a long trip out there for the Celtics. Blazers are very, very good and, like, firing on all cylinders right now. So give me the Blazers. And then the final game of the night, Hawks at Warriors. Is Steph back? Well, he's listed as probable. If he's feeling it, you run him out there for 20 minutes, don't you? Just to get the feel back, see how he's going. Get the stroke rolling. Well, see how we go. Give me the Warriors. They're going to kill the Hawks. Saturday, six games. Wolves at Sixers. Wolves will be on a back-to-back. Great one, though. We got Joel Embiid versus Big Cat. I like it. Give me the Sixers at home. Yeah, Wolves on a back-to-back, traveling. Sixers at home. I think they've got it. Bulls at Pistons. Ugh. A storied rivalry continues. It's Blake Griffin versus Paul Zipser on ABC. Yeah, nah. Give me the Pistons. Bulls are tanking too hard. Suns at Magic. Gross. Tankapalooza matchup. I love these. The Suns, man, they know that they can't slip out of that. They're trying their hardest not to slip out of that one spot, especially with them being tied with Memphis. I reckon the Magic. What would they have to do to lose this game? I think the Suns lose. The Magic are trying their hardest to lose, but they somehow win. That's how it goes. Pelicans at Rockets. This is a good one. Like this, Pelicans in to keep rolling, but this might be the Rockets' last game where they play everyone, and I think they'll win. It's good. What a great matchup, though. AD versus James Harden, Chris Paul, Clint Capela. I think the Rockets will have enough for them. Be interesting if the Pelicans end up being the fourth seed and popping whoever ends up being the fifth seed in the playoffs, they'd end up obviously facing the Rockets for a playoff series. Fascinating. Lakers at Grizzlies, another Tankapalooza. Ah, the Grizz. 61 points, man. Lakers going to kill them. Even though they're in Memphis. Yeah, Lakers got that. Hornets at Mavs. Hornets, Mavs. Jesus, do you reckon the Mavs would still want to sign Dwight Howard just because? they'd love it, wouldn't they? I think the Hornets will win that. The Mavs really, really, really need to get on this tank train, and they have a very slim margin for error because they're currently in, what are they, fifth? They win one more game. They suddenly get within the Brooklyn, Sacramento, Chicago territory of going all the way down to eighth. Don't want to do that. All right, so the Hornets win that. Sunday, Cavs at Nets. This is a 1 p.m. game. Want to go to this, but I don't know, man. Tickets are crazy expensive. It's a 1 p.m. game. We're out on the cans on Saturday night with mates. So I don't know if I want to spend 350 wing-wangs to be hung over and watch LeBron kick the crap out of the Nets from the fucking nosebleed. So might have to give it a bit of a fucking miss there. Tough one. Fun, though. Cavs at Nets. Give me the Cavs. Spurs at Bucks. Wonder if Greek Freak is back for this. Either way, it's going to be good. I reckon the Bucks will pop the Spurs too. Just how it's going to go. Nice one. Heat at Pacers. Interesting stuff. What do you reckon over there? Thingy?
Interesting stuff.
Nice. Playoff potential here as well, depending on how the Heat go, where the Pacers end up. Pacers are currently in fifth, and the Heat are in seventh. So this is a very, 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 very important game for both teams. I think the Pacers will win this. Clips at Raptors. Oh, it's the Blake Griffin punch a motherfucker game. I love it. Raps win this because the Toronto nightlife is undefeated. Knicks at Wiz. Ugh. Wiz cruising like that horrible Gwyneth Paltrow movie. Give me the Wiz. Celtics at Kings. Oh, Celts needed this one on that road trip up against Sacramento. Book it. Blazers at Thunder. Yes! That's a Marv Elba game. What a game for Sunday night. God damn it. Problem is, I'm going to Gang of Youths at Bowery Ballroom. Reckon I'll have to tape this. Great matchup. Rusty and Paul George versus Dame and CJ. Melo's going to be standing there looking around going, huh, why didn't I play for the Blazers? And all the Blazers fan watching going to be like, man, thank fuck that guy didn't come here. Ah, Blazers Thunder. I love it. Give me, I think the Blazers will win that, even though it's in OKC. Hawks at Rockets. Hey, schedule walkover for the Rockets. And then the final game of the weekend, Jazz at Warriors. Another good one. So I reckon by my account, that's 11 absolute corking games over this weekend. And then a lot of the other ones are like Tinkerpalooza teams taking on each other, which is funny. And then obviously just walkover teams for like, you know, Cavs, Nets, all that sort of shit. So damn, man, Jazz Warriors could easily be a playoff series. Jazz could easily end up in the 8th seed and sneakily. They could also end up in the 4th seed. So it could be a second round series too, bro. I love it. Down Under Durant versus the American Joe Ingles. Great. Just watch Joey take it to KD, the coward. He might be back for this. Reports were that he was going through shoot-around, no contact drills yet. They said he was out 2 weeks. It'll be about a week by this point, so maybe. See how it goes. But Jazz Warriors, I reckon the Jazz could win this, and I think they will. So give me the Jazz. And you know what? That's all of the games, all 25. We just previewed every single bloody one. Not bad. All right, that's it for this week. What an awesome week this has been on NBA Australia. Thanks for listening. Thanks for voting in the NBA Australia Championship Bracket Tournament, 2-on-2 tournament. That was awesome. It was fun as hell getting all the feedback and everything for that. We'll be back on Monday with more ridiculousness. In the meantime, we are all the time, all full time, Twitter, Facey. Doesn't stop, man. NBA Australia, never forget, is on Facebook and Twitter every single day, day in, day out. And Twitter, we swing by and yell a bunch of shit, Facey, same sort of stuff. So don't forget to make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast. Chuck us a rating and review while you're at it, would you? And thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats, their new band. Best band in Australia, mate. Stop is their new single, and it's an absolute corker. They play the Corner Hotel in Melbourne on March 19 with an amazing lineup, Painters and Dockers, X, and the Celibate Rifles. It's going to be a little mini festival, and it's amazing. So go buy some tickets. Extra special thanks to the legends at Green Green Green, Iowa Fascinator, and the Ramshackle Army for all the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Check them out on Bandcamp and Facey. NBA Australia supports Australian bands. You know it. And that's it, man. Stick around for a very fun episode of Cooking with Bainesy, and we'll catch you on Monday. Have a great weekend, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Hosan! Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience. All right, it's time for Cooking with Bainesy!
G'day. Welcome to Cooking with Bainesy. I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Bainesy. I mean, Baines. Nice. And in this here episode, we're going to whip up one of my absolute favourite Australian treats that you can have whenever, but most especially to impress all your mates at birthday parties. I'm going to show you what every red-blooded man needs to know how to sort out. That Australian classic, fairy bread. That's right, love me some fairy bread. I whip up a batch just about every day, whether the kids want it or not. Definitely helps keeping up this physique, I'll tell you. All right, so like, the best bit is when you're at some kid's birthday party and the missus is all like, what are we going to bring? And I'm like, yeah, nah, got it sorted, love. Don't you worry. And then I whip up some of Banger's famous fairy bread. Kids love it. I love it. It's bloody perfect, mate. So it's simple. All you got to do is go down your soupy, buy a thing of white bread, a thing of butter, and if you can find them, a thing of hundreds and thousands sprinkles. Now, you got to make sure you get the round ones because the oblong ones are bullshit. But if they're the only ones you can find, those rainbow-colored sprinkles, it'll just have to do. They're vastly inferior to the round ones, but they'll do. All right, so now it's simple. All you need to do is grab your white bread. There you go. Yeah, so butter it up. Then whack a bunch of hundreds and thousands on there, chop her up into four little triangles, and bam, you're done. Now sit back, grab a tin, and wait for everyone to tell you you're a bloody legend because the fairy bread is making all the kids go mental. Shit, mate, it's butter and sugar. Little bastards will love it. And voila, Bob's your bloody uncle.
an absolute ripper of a party treat, or just an everyday treat. Bangers Fairy Bread. And how easy was that? Oh, you love it, don't you? Don't you? Ah, Fairy Bread's awesome. All right, tune in next week for a new recipe, and we'll see you then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.